Well, good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing today? Welcome to Hope Church. Welcome Hope at Home. If you're with us online, we love you all. Thank you for being here today. Now, I want you to turn to someone, say hello, and show them your Christmas socks. Come on, right there. There's mine. I got the gnomes. Yeah, see? Fun times. See that? We just need a time to say hello, don't we? Any great socks out there? Who's got the best ones? I saw some cool Grinch socks. Yeah. What are we doing next week? What's next week? It's all sweaters, ugly sweaters. Yes, next week, ugly sweaters. So if you're new with us and you didn't know, we have a lot of fun here at Hope Church. Today was Fun Socks Day. Next week is ugly sweaters. So come back and wear your ugliest sweater and be with a lot of people wearing ugly sweaters. How fun is that? Come on. That's a lot of fun. A couple things, guys, I want you to know about. When you leave today out at the booth, what do we call that place? The information booth. We've got a couple of invitations, okay, for you to take. This little green card here says Christmas Community Dinner, okay? And that's coming up on Wednesday night. So we're doing a Christmas Community Dinner. We won't be having our Bible studies. We're just going to get together, fellowship, and eat, okay? So if you would like to invite someone to that, we've made these fun little cards. I think of maybe one or two people that you might want to give this to, okay? You can grab one on your way out. And then we have this other fun invitation. We're making this really easy, right? The Christmas Eve candlelight service, Christmas Eve at 5 p.m., okay? You can grab one of these. It has some nice little candies, and I know you'll be tempted to eat these yourself, but that's why we left some out at the coffee bar today, so you could eat those. And you can just grab, hey, again, grab one or two of these and think about a neighbor or a friend, someone that might want a place to go on Christmas Eve. So those are for you. Take as many as you'd like, and you can do that. We did that for you, okay? All right. We are in week two of Advent, and we're going to talk again here about a lot of the stuff that we've heard already here today. That Jesus is our peace. Week two of Advent is all about peace, and I'm sure that you are all hopeful for a peaceful Christmas overall, right? Would you like to have a peaceful Christmas? What do you think? Maybe? Someone say maybe? Well, I'd like to have a peaceful Christmas. And when we think that, we probably mean something like the dictionary definition of peace. And we're just talking about it. Like maybe we mean harmony in your family, right? I mean, that sounds like peaceful. You might settle for no arguing at this point in your family, right? You just get through Christmas, no arguing. And it'll be a pretty good Christmas, right? Right? Peace. How about you might mean when you say peace, you know, just the absence of trouble. Right? Could I just have no trouble? Could we just have a smooth Christmas with no problems? Oh, that sounds like peace. Does that sound like peace to anybody? How about just rest? Anybody want some rest? Would you like your eyelids to be closed for longer? I want some rest. Definitely would like that. You might mean that when you think of peace. You might mean peace and, yes, quiet. You know, there'll be more than once this Christmas holiday when you're like, can I get some silence, right? You might mean peace and quiet. You might just want a little time to yourself, tranquility, silence. Let's just try that for a second, silence. Oh, wow, silence is so peaceful, isn't it? Oh, I love when we go up to Minnesota to my wife's family, and it will snow. And you go outside, and you can't hear a thing. That is the best sound, isn't it? Nothing. Just little snowflakes falling. I love that. That's very peaceful. Maybe you mean financial peace. Hello. Anybody want some financial peace this Christmas season, right? How about just being able to afford Christmas? My goodness, I feel like I'm going into debt just to get Christmas presents. Actually, probably a lot of us are, huh? Financial peace, a little breathing room. That would all be great. A lot of things. You know, these are some of the ideas that we have, you know, maybe just swirling around in our heads when we think about peace and what that looks like. You may even think back at some point in your life. You think back at a particular time in life, and you might consider what some of the best times in life have been, and I bet those times probably have something to do with the peace that surrounded them. And in one way or another, we are all in this room today pursuing peace. We are pursuing peace. That is what we want in our lives. And I want to tell you today that God wants all of that in your life. Everything we've talked about today. In fact, he has always wanted you to have a peaceful life. And if you look back in God's word, at the very foundation, from the very beginning, there was a time when we had that. We had peace with God. And all that peace and harmony and absence of trouble and provision and rest, it was all there, and it all revolved around one essential thing. And that was a real relationship with the Creator. And I'm grateful that the Bible tells us how it used to be. Right? Because it actually leaves me with a real sense of peace, because knowing how things used to be helps us to see how things were meant to be. Amen. And when we know how things were meant to be, then it reveals the heart of God. And so we know that from the very start of all things, peace with God was the way life was always meant to be. Everybody say, peace with God. Go, ready? Go.
Peace with God.
Peace with God was the way life was always meant to be. In fact, that is the foundation for life. So let me get right to the point this morning. If you don't have peace with God, you don't have real peace in your life yet. You don't have it yet. Even if nothing goes wrong this Christmas and everything turns out right, like all your best Christmas cookies just turn out right, right? You can eat as many ginger snaps and snickerdoodles and peanut butter blossoms and raspberry thumbprints, chocolate crinkles, those little gingerbread guys, Christmas wreaths. Have I missed anything? What? Well, I know, Christmas, man. You said cookies. Cookies are coming. Did I miss any cookies? There's a green. What are they?
Spritz.
Spritz. Spritz. Spritz. All right. I'm not sure what this has to do with my sermon anymore, but I just wanted to get Christmas cookies into it. All right. It's like, it feels right. All right, but if everything goes right and you don't have peace with God, then things are not going to ultimately turn out right. So let's talk about what happened to the peace we had. Peace was interrupted. Peace was stolen. Peace was traded away when long ago God made a beautiful, perfect world, and it was so good. And then the first act of disobedience took place, and God's commands were broken. And that act occurred because man failed to completely trust God. and disobeyed his command, and a split in our relationship began. And from that day forward, as we drifted further and further away from God's original commands, our peace with him turned into estrangement from him, unfriendliness toward him, rebelliousness to him, and we became hostile and separated from God. We wanted to take a run at peace without him. And it didn't work out. And when you read the story of the Bible, it is a long story about recapturing the peace between man and God. That is what real peace is. And we read this today at the candlelight, but I want to read it again. This was the purpose of Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of, what is it? Peace. And of the greatness of his government and what? Peace. There will be no end. Peace. Amen. Peace. I need a Prince of Peace in my life to help me reestablish the peace that was lost. And he is called the Prince of Peace because he is able to do that. When we consider the peace in this verse and the foretelling of the birth of Christ Jesus, our Savior, and we see that these things have come to pass, we are also reminded that there's more to the story. Peace will eventually reign forever. But for now, it is a promise given to you that shows up in your heart as we await his return, the second advent, when he comes again. And then there will be peace with no end. Praise God for that. And you know, as you live out your life each and every day, doing what you need to do, you will begin to realize that that kind of peace is not within our power to establish. And there is nothing we can do to restore that peace that was lost. I need a Prince of Peace in my life. Let's read from Ephesians chapter 2. It says, but now, everybody say now, go. Now something has changed. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is what? Our peace. Who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier and dividing wall of hostility by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. Now, in the context of this verse, the two groups that Paul is referring to here are the Jews and the Gentiles. So this verse speaks of Jesus coming and reconciling these two groups of people with each other, but more importantly, reconciling the entire world as one to God. It's a brilliant plan for humanity. Because humanity as one fell into sin and lost what we had. And so humanity as one will be redeemed, reconciled, saved. How? By putting an end to the system that required the fulfillment of all these regulations. Jesus satisfied it by living it, and then he took it all to the cross. And it was crucified in him. And now the only way to satisfy God is through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what we must go through to get there and to find the peace that we need. Peace is this. Peace is reconciliation with God. That comes only through Jesus. And so we can boldly claim exactly what Paul said in that verse, that he himself is our peace. I want you to say that. Say, he himself. Ready, go.
He himself
is our peace.
Is our peace.
We can boldly claim that because that's what he did. So I'm asking you this morning, is Jesus Christ your peace today? Have you found real peace? When we come together and we celebrate Advent, we not only celebrate his coming, but his purpose in coming, which is making peace between you and God. And as we gather together this Christmas, let's remember that after all the wrong things that we have done, we have now been made right with God. Because of one precious little baby that was born of a virgin, that was placed in a manger, who grew up and lived just as you and I lived, and lived a perfect life and gave that life for us. So that now, as Paul says in Romans chapter 8, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ Jesus, it means you have accepted him as your peace. And if you have real peace, it means you are in Christ Jesus. And Jesus, then, he looks back. God the Father looks back at your life and all you've done in hostility toward God. And he looks at you and he says, not guilty, because of what Christ did. What an incredible gift. This whole world has been given this one opportunity, this one door of grace to settle with God and to have peace restored in each and every life on this planet. We have this chance. We have this door of grace that we live in now to get it right. Talk about the best Christmas gift you could ever have. That's it right now. John 3:16, you guys know this one. For God so loved the world that he gave. Everybody say, he gave.
He gave.
I got to keep you all awake. That's why we just repeat. I want you to get it stuck in your brain. Today, as you leave from here, he gave. See, it was a gift. He gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. In Romans 5, verse 1 and 2 says this, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. There it is. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And so we boast in the hope of the glory of God. That is a restored relationship. Jesus has demonstrated and showed us all how to restore relationships by humbling himself. That's how you do it right there. And we've all managed to navigate our lives into things that run contrary to what God has commanded. These are the things that separate us from the presence of God. They're the things that we call sin. So whether you're out there today and you feel a sense of peace or not, or you have high hopes for a peaceful Christmas, God's purpose for you is not that you have a trouble-free Christmas. It is that you have a trouble-free heart that is full of peace because he has restored the relationship that you have. And then in that, I can rejoice in any circumstance that comes this Christmas. Amen? I can rejoice. A couple quick things about peace. Number one, peace cannot be shaken. Peace cannot be shaken. Isaiah 54 says this. It says, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, or my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. Now, this verse talking to Israel, it's a prophetic verse, right, about the coming Messiah that would bring peace. But this is the inheritance we share in as one. And so Jesus has made a covenant of peace with us, an agreement. And that agreement has been signed and sealed by his blood and by his sacrifice on the cross, which means peace has been promised to us and peace has been established for us. It is unshakable. It will never be removed. It is there for us. And what a strong visual we get from this verse, that God's promises are more firm and secure than the mountains themselves. If you could go somewhere and find the biggest mountain and gaze at its majesty and wonder to yourself, how could I ever move that mountain? Then you will have a good understanding of the peace that surpasses all understanding. The effort it would take to move that mountain is insurmountable. It cannot be moved, and his covenant of peace is stronger and more lasting than that. Amen. The second thing is this. Jesus has given you the same peace that he carried with him. In John chapter 14, it says this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. He's given you peace to sustain you through hardship. He says, I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. He doesn't want you ruled by fear. He wants you to have peace. His peace is different than the world's idea of peace or the definitions of peace that we've come to know. It's not based on having a life without trouble, as the world would have you believe. It's not based on how I feel each day, because today I feel peace, but tomorrow I don't feel peace inside. And I can count on trouble. Trouble will come and trouble will go. In and out of each day of life. But peace has been given to us as a lasting gift. Jesus walked the earth with this peace inside of him, and it was his total reliance upon God. And we can live the same way today. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask the band, worship team, to come make your way back up. And we're going to close in worship again today. As they're making their way up, I have just a couple of final thoughts on peace today. Colossians 3:15. Listen to this. It says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful." And there's a lot of days where you might say things don't look too peaceful. They don't look too peaceful in my life right now. I'm not sure if this Christmas is going to be peaceful. I'm not sure if today is going to be peaceful. I don't feel a lot of peace. But I'm here to say that I'm thankful peace is not based on all of that. It is based on a promise fulfilled in Christ Jesus. We don't have to wonder if we are saved. We don't have to worry if we are saved. We simply need to let the peace of God rule in our hearts and accept Jesus Christ as your peace. Ask him into your heart. Accept his blood that it would cover your sin. Amen. Let's pray. God, we are thankful for your peace. It's not a peace that the world could ever generate with anything that it comes up with each and every year. And all the things we desire at Christmas time, and it falls short of everlasting peace. We rejoice in you, our peace, because you have made peace between God and man through the precious gift of your Son. God, would you help us to remember that this Christmas season? To remember the best gift that we have been given, and then to let it rule in us. To let it rule our hearts, to let it guard our hearts and our minds, and to let it settle in us, even when we don't understand what's going on around us. And we thank you, Lord, for coming into this world and for securing our peace. Amen.